Hi, and welcome to Awaken Your Inner Wisdom. I'm Cissy Williams, and in this interview, you'll meet the wonderful Amor Stassen, who had her own witch awakening on the Lion's Gate in 2020. And since that time, she's been sharing the many faces of the witch with thousands of others. In this interview, she dives deeper into the wisdom teachings of the ancient Celtic goddess Dekaiac and how she's awakened these ancient codes within Amor from her own place of birth, Ireland. So let's head over to this interview now, where you'll meet the amazing Amor Stassen. Hi, Amor. It is amazing, as always, to be here with you. I love our conversations, and thank you for coming to us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
And we are going to talk about someone. I shouldn't maybe say someone, but I do feel I have like a personal relationship with her that is very, very close to my heart. And that is Dekaiac. So who is Dekaiac?
Dekaiac is the witch. She is the creator of the Celtic lands, the creatrix of the Celtic lands. So Ireland, Scotland, Wales, the Isle of Man, all these places, France, that feel connected to the Celt within them. And she is the ancient primal mother who created these lands before any of us even existed, before humanity came here. So in Irish mythology, her energies are connected to many different parts of Ireland, like the geographic land of Ireland. And I live in Scotland. She's also very connected to certain parts of Scotland too, where I live. And she resides over the north of the Celtic medicine wheel, which I also call the witch's wheel. And the north and the northerly direction is what I associate with stepping into the unknown, to that direction of not yet lived, not knowing where we're going. And she, I laugh when I speak about her because she's so fierce and she's so loving, and she will support you and walk alongside you. And of course, for many, when we're stepping into the unknown and into the not yet lived, it can be scary as heck. So she may, if we're standing there procrastinating, wondering whether to go or not to go, two steps forward, five steps back, she'll give you a gentle nudge. And sometimes she might give you the biggest shove ever just to support you along the way in her journey. So the Dekaiac is, for me, is the ancient primordial witch when we think of the earth herself as a witch, as the wise one, and so much more. So I'll stop there for now of who she is.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. And how did you first meet her? Because I first met her through you. Yeah, I remember listening to a guided journey that you did where we met her. And I'm like, oh my God, she took me into such a intense journey and awakening. And I remember I felt like I was trapped in a spider's web of stuff, of thought patterns. And she literally just blew it away and unearthed more that had been spinning and fueling this spider's web that had me trapped. It was awesome. It was awesome. So for you to be able to pass that experience on to me, I realized that you really knew her, because you can't transmit that across otherwise. And that's when I remember I emailed you saying, can I buy your course? And you had closed the doors to it. I'm like, please, please, I need to know more. And that's actually how we got to connect as well. Yeah. But how did you first meet her?
Yeah. So I consciously met her only 2 years ago. And I say, of course, she is with us all of the time. We just may not consciously be aware of that. So we've spoken before on a different podcast of my witch awakening back in the Lionsgate 2020. So that happened on the 8th of August. And it was so visceral and so real, this witch awakening within me, with this flicker of a flame that turned into a volcanic fury within me. So it was all in here, in my body, in my heart, in my womb space. And synchronistically, as it was happening that same week, I was teaching a course on the Celtic medicine wheel. It was actually one of the first times I had taught the course. And where were we focusing on at that time but the Cailleach Witch and the northerly direction of the wheel? And I was designing this program as I was going along, which is what I often do, you know, to go with. It's almost like drawing on the inspiration of life and the world around me, and then really connecting in with what wants to be taught. So it feels very alive and visceral, which is probably what came across when you did the meditation and took the course. So the Cailleach wanted to speak through me. And at the time, I didn't quite realize the significance of how this would unfold over the course of the following few years. But an hour before I was going live on that particular course in that week in 2020, this poem of the Cailleach just came through me, and I typed it up on the computer and read it out to the group. And I have since gone back and listened to that. And oh my goodness, I'm so scared reading it. I'm so scared to express these words of the Cailleach. But she guides you. She kind of makes you express the truth of who you are in such a visceral, primal, moving, powerful way. So that was my first interaction with the Cailleach, was expressing who she is through poetry that I had created without actually knowing the full extent of the stories and the mythology around her. And there's a bit more to that, because in the northerly direction, she also represents the battle. And if people know about the north of Ireland and Ireland, it's a divided country geographically, and there's a lot that has gone on in the land over the eons of time. So the Cailleach also resides over and supports, in one way, the battle, like the battle externally, but the battle within us, the polarities that exist within us. And she also churns up the storm. She's a fire starter. She churns up the storm. When we need to change or get out of our comfort zone, she will gladly support us in that.
Whether and that's we want to or what not. I felt in that journey. It's like she was there. And instead of me, okay, so how can we release this web that I'm trapped in? She literally just came in like a hurricane. And then with her fire, and then unearthed even more. And I'm like, who is this? It's taking over. It was amazing. Yeah.
Wow, because she is that storm, which is what is unfolding now this year. But that same time when I wrote the poem about her, there was this amazing, humongous thunder and lightning storm.
Wow.
In Edinburgh, where we were staying at the time, and also in Falkirk, where we live, where this has been broadcast from. Thunder, like I haven't heard it before in a very long time. Lightning, sheet lightning, fork lightning. There were floods around the place. There was chaos. A house near us was struck and the roof went on fire.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no one was hurt or injured. And that's her energy. I felt like she was bloody angry, excuse the cursing. She was angry because this was connected to my witchy awakening and experience. So it was like this collective, all the Cailleachs, all the witches of the world that have been in hiding were rising.
Yeah. Oh,
and
I shiver.
Were angry.
And I feel that though it's a holy rage, it's a cleansing rage, it's like a fierce, loving force rising to burn away all the ways in which we've been trapped and chained and suppressed. And it's like, it's time, women, it's time for us to rise and allow us to embody that ancient primordial wise woman, which is what witch really means, energy, medicine, expression, and bring that out into the world. Yeah.
Because how else do you get out of like that web that you spoke of that you were trapped in? That's
exactly.
How else do you?
You can't take just one strand at a time. It's going to take too long. It's like, whoosh, she really did come in and like, let me show you how it can be done. And whoosh, yeah.
Amazing.
Would you mind? Because I know that some listeners now are like, what is this poem? Would you mind sharing it before we dive deeper so that they can have that experience of your initial embodiment of her?
Yeah, I've called it the Kalyach Witch Speaks Again. I am the ancient and mighty Kalyach, creator of the Celtic lands, where I've traveled so far and wide. I am as strong as any warrior, and I am as fierce as the gale force winds blowing in from wild Atlantic oceans. A force to be reckoned with, rock solid, they say. I am goddess of winter, shrouding you in brilliant blankets of white snows, and my Arctic perspectives will give you chills as you stand frozen to your spot. I filled my apron with rocks and boulders, and in great big leaps and hops between Scotland and Ireland, I scattered these rocks to form the mountains of Slievegullion in Ulster, the cairns of Loch Crew in Meath, and the Beara Peninsula in Kerry, from whence I take my name, Kalyach Beara. These rock babies birthed from my divine womb. I am the wind that tousles your hair. I am air. And I am here to walk with you into the unknown, your not yet lived, to help you heal and feel the witch within you. In this life and over many lifetimes, she has lived, waiting for this moment where you connect with her. But let me tell you first of some of my witchy experiences over lifetimes. Names they called me. Old hag, witch, crone, wailing banshee, bone mother. I am all of these and so much more, despite the distortion of the lore. I am the sacred air that breathes you, the land that births you. And I speak to you in the hills and the valleys. I taunt you in the mountains and rocks. And I am rooted in the landscape of your own becoming. I am your mother, dear child. And I hear your battle cries, your worries and your lies. And I am here to lay out the truth of a power that cannot be rebuked, but emerges to this day from underground cliffs and rocks, from the very landscape that is you. They tried to shut me up, silencing me with unfair trial, the tribulations I've been through, tied to a wooden pole and burnt at the stake, accused of witchcraft. The winter winds fanning the flames as they watched on, men, women, children. The very landscape of my own creation, embedding trauma for centuries to come. Over many lifetimes, betrayed, severed from my soul. And now, I have returned to my majestic throne upon my old hag's chair, which is that magical rock at Loch Crew, my home in Ireland, that looks out to the Hill of Tara, to Uisnech at the centre of Ireland. And today, I call on you to be fierce. I call on you to strip away your lies. And I call on you to return to your innate power, your innate witch, your innate Kalyach. And I say to you, my mantra, witches, rise up, return to your power. Witches, rise up, now is the hour. Witches, rise up and step on to your throne. Witches, rise up, it's time to come home. The Kalyach has spoken.
I can feel that in my bones. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And the time really is here.
Yeah. 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 And I would say to everyone watching and listening to this to open up to her energy so that they can flow through you and to be moved by her in the way that she wishes to move you.
Mm.
Yeah.
Just like she did with you, because you obviously went through such a massive change when the witches spoke to you and started to rise within you, for you to leave behind what you were doing before and then to venture into this is such a massive change. So how did that feel for you?
Very, very scary and terrifying, because what I know now is that my body was remembering this somatic fear that had been so embedded. The Kalyach says it herself, embedding trauma for centuries to come because of the persecutions that have happened over hundreds of years, but over thousands and millions of years. It's so part of the culture. So I felt very fearful about sharing this. And that's why when I looked back at my first recital of that poem, my voice went. So it goes to my body. It's like this density. I'm overcome with this heavy denseness that's trying to stop me from speaking. And then as I speak, my throat, my voice goes, it catches in my throat here, which I know so many can relate to. So with that fear, and with the Kalyach beside me, supporting me, and all of the witches as a collective, I knew I had to. I describe it as I couldn't not speak anymore, because I'd finally drawn the boundary line of silence, of acceptance, of accepting the status quo. And I knew it was part of my duty to actually speak. So I was walking hand in hand with the fear and speaking at the same time. And some people describe that as courageous. And for me, I just knew that was the next step and the next step. And as I do this and share this, my throat and voice continues to heal because it's an ongoing journey.
Yeah. And it's like all the different ways that we have locked in our own power from the previous wounds and fears and all of that. So it's like we've locked it in. I had to do many journeys where I noticed that I had locked in my power within my body. One of the ways I'd done it was through my meningeal sheets. We got three layers of meningeal sheets, and my power was in my nervous system. And I had three locks. And I had to go through each gateway of these locks in order to unlock one aspect and then the next one and then the next one until I finally came to my raw power. And she was that ancient witch that was in my nervous system. And my body had reacted since I was a baby with extreme high temperatures and meningeal inflammation. It's a condition I have that is an autoinflammatory condition. But I could see it was there to put these locks kind of literally under, what do you call it? Lock and chain, that sort of thing. And I think we all have that in different ways, and we're holding it in our body. Obviously, our throat is a very common place. So when you then still show up, despite the sore throat, losing your voice, or the internet collapsing that happened for me a couple of weeks ago when I was doing a webinar on meeting our ancient ancestral witch. And it's like all these various challenges, blocks in the way, we just have to show up anyway and show up anyway. And then it's like we're healing these different gates that have previously been locked. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes.
So, and it's in all of us. I do think it's in all of us. And if we then discover that, oh God, this feels really heavy. Oh, my voice can't take this. Oh, I got a fever. You know, I'm getting really anxious. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Then we are still giving energy to that. I nearly see it as a curse that was placed on us to keep us bound. Whilst when we move through it anyway, we're freeing ourselves from that curse. And instead, we allow her to embody up to that gate and through it. And then we meet the next gate and the next gate and the next gate until she's fully out. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm really glad that you referenced that with the speaking and the showing up, that we're also doing the healing work, either within ourselves or seeking that support. Oh, I've had the most amazing session with one of your students where it was like this fire. I became this fire dragon to unlock this and unlock this energy, this fire energy within me that was held within my lower back where I was getting the pain.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so that the healing work continues and that it's not a lone journey, because when you share and speak and you put it out there, you start meeting other people like yourself, like other people that resonate, you know, at the same vibration and really relate to that work. So what I know now is that it's that the witches' covens that they tried to break up and silence and subdue and kill and burn, that this is what's returning now. The witches' coven returns, and now we gather as witches again in circle once again, because that's where the power is. And that's part of what the Kalyach is guiding me through.
Yeah.
To do this.
Yeah. And I'm just witnessing the change in you since the first time I interviewed you. And since the first time also you interviewed me. So, you know, I've been following you. It's not that long. I mean, your journey has been like so fast and so intense. It's amazing. And I can witness the change in you. It's you are embodying that ancient witch more and more and more and more and more and more and more. And it feels... it seems to be feeling more natural even for you. So it's like for every layer that you heal, you're not just embodying her more, it harmonizes with you more.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And I love that word, harmonizes. Because ultimately, isn't that what we're being called forth for? To restore ourselves and the earth in harmony.
So that yes. It is
in balance, harmony. And we're having this conversation, it's around the time of equinox, which is all about balance and harmony as we move then into Samhain. And yeah, what keeps coming to mind as well is that it culminated this year. It was like a real high moment this year as I was walking with the Kalyach, the witches, reconnecting to my indigenous roots and figuring out what that meant for me, is that I actually had the opportunity to be the voice of the witches on Edinburgh soil, which is where the awakening first happened, at the Edinburgh International Book Festival in August this year. And this year is Scotland's year of storytelling, so it really resonates and relates for me. And But one of my healer friends who was supporting me in with the speaking aspects as well as the healing of my throat, said that it's not about you, Emer, you know, and standing up here and putting on an amazing performance. This is about the audience, and it's about honoring the witches who I, you know, I feel around me. And it was like that was what I needed to hear, because it felt so amazing and powerful to stand up at the podium and be that voice for them. And I feel in those moments my voice gets lower and more powerful as the Kalyak speaks through me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I felt I needed to share that too, that yeah, when we feel it can be, oh, I'm going to show up and I'm going to lose my voice and it's going to go all croaky and what's going to happen? I'll look so stupid and ridiculous. And when it's not about us and the performance, it's not about me. This is about reclaiming our voices for the many who didn't have that voice in those lifetimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm so glad you're saying this. I found that piece of advice, I was given similar advice actually from Tosha Silva, because wow. I was sharing with her that, you know, I was interviewing her and I was sharing with her that, of course, I was going to run. And I said, yeah, I'm a little bit nervous because it's on a much bigger scale than before. And she said, honey, it's not about you. Just hand it over to the divine and let the divine speak through you. It's the course belongs to the divine. It doesn't belong to you. And I'm like, thank you. So from that moment, and I knew that logically, but to really know it viscerally, that was completely different. So before that, before I would run a course or something like that, I would have problems sleeping. And then as soon as she had passed on that beautiful piece of advice to me, I could sleep like a baby. Because it wasn't about me. It was so nice. And it is that. It's to be an embodiment of that is flowing through you to the others.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's times where I'm like, what do you mean it's not about me? You know? So personally, I thank you for that reminder and need that reminder as well. Yeah, to be so grounded and in your power that you trust that the right information will flow through.
Yeah, yeah. And also, as you say, to allow yourself to be human. Yes, that it's okay that we get a little bit anxious before, or I have my little ritual where, you know, before I'm going to speak, I have to have my lip balm. I just have to. It's like, and so it's okay to have your little kind of ritual, whatever it is that we do for the human side as well. But it doesn't stop us from showing up. And I feel that anxiety beforehand, at least for me, it's getting shorter and shorter and shorter, but I still allow it. I'm human. As you say, it's like the human can go, well, what about me? Because you're still doing the journey with the force that is working through you. So as you are an embodiment of that to the others, you'll be taken on your own healing journey in order to be a match to that. So it's not as if you can just go there, I feel anyway, and just be like, okay, I'm going to be a voice for this. There is work for you to do before you are a match to that. And that work is your own personal spiritual journey that requires an enormous commitment to get up to that match.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is why I love speaking about the journey as well, so that people know that and can be reminded of that.
Yeah.
It is a journey.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've shown up for it with a lot of courage. But at the same time, you probably could not show up for it because it is your calling.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that. So what is it that you feel? I never pronounce her name right, so there. I just have to say it the way I say it. So the kayak, how do you say it? You say it with an L in between there somewhere.
Yeah, kalyach.
Kayak. Kalyach. I can't do it. Anyway, what is it that is the main medicine that is coming from her through you at this moment to us?
Yes. So the cauldron is what is coming up. And I can give some perspective for people. I've been diving deeper into the Kalyach and who she is as I realize that she has so many different kinds of faces. And that can be represented through the different goddesses of or witches of Irish lore, of the mythology in lots of different countries. And also, she shows up in different energetic faces within herself as the Kalyach witch and also as a title. So it was actually, where do I start this story? The Irish language is incredibly descriptive and poetic and beautiful. And the Kalyach is the Irish word for witch. But then I discovered, as I was delving deeper, that there are many different versions and variations of Kalyach that mean different things. So, for example, Kalyach Dov means the black witch, which is another name for nun in Irish. The Kalyach Iha means the witch of the night and is another name for owl in the Irish language. So once I discovered this, it just ignited this wonder and this immense magic within me, because I knew she was guiding me to delve deeper into the word, into her etymology. And not even just that, where it's taken me is like I'm going down, because it's like a shamanic journey into a deeper meaning of the energies of her as Kalyach. So another one of her variations is Kalyach Pishogok. And I love saying that word. Pishog means a ghost in Irish. And there's plenty of ghost stories and ghosts in the mythology of Irish. So Kalyach Pishogok means ghostly witch. And it's another translation for sorcerer. Sorcerer. Now, when I say that word, it'd be interesting to ask viewers and listeners, like, what flows through you when I say that word? Because personally, for me, when I first came across the word sorcerer, it sent shivers throughout me. And the word really scared me. So I knew I had to go in there and investigate further. Because a number of weeks before I discovered this Irish meaning for Kalyach Pishogok being sorcerer, I was actually in Edinburgh. This was just a few weeks ago in the Edinburgh Scottish Storytelling Centre. Cut a long story short. And I was looking at a book about this Celtic warrior called Skáhach, who I'm sure you know about, Skia or Skáhach. And I was flicking through the book. And then it was like this word came out of an open door of what is John Knox's house, which is a museum. He was a Presbyterian preacher in the 1500s and is very linked to the witch persecution in Scotland. It came out sorcerer. It was like it hit me on the side of the head, on the left side of the head, sorcerer, devil's child. And I was so scared. I just felt like I wanted to run out of there, but I bought the book first and then left. So I felt like there was some kind of connection to the persecution that happened 15th, 16th, 17th century in Scotland, and this word sorcerer, and that the Kalyach was guiding me to go in there. So then I came across this mythology around what is called the Corryvreckan Whirlpool. That is this amazing whirlpool off the west coast of Scotland that some people may know about. It's very treacherous. It's very dangerous to go in there. You need to know the tides to be able to sail around that part of Scotland when the Corryvreckan is in full force. The Gaelic word for Corryvreckan is Curra Vrechen, and it's also known as the washtub of the Cailleach witch. So where I'm going with this, with these different stories, is that it came to me in a vision the night before I was going to teach this to my class in August, as is what happens, that the whirlpool, the Curra Vrechen, is connected to the Cailleach witch. And her as sorcerer was inviting us to go in to the whirlpool. Now that felt very dangerous and scary for me. I don't want to go into a dangerous, surging mass of water. But as I was guiding the meditation for the group, she's like, we're going in here. Make sure you have protection and you will be protected as you descend into this mass of watery whirlpoolness. And you'll be drawn in like as if being drawn in through an umbilical. And I could feel the suction of this into the womb of the earth, back in to the womb of the mother. So through this sorcerer, whirlpool, vortex, portal, energy, she was guiding us in to the earth as if to be reborn once again. Honestly, it was so powerful. And where I went during that meditation and other people went different places, was that I was being brought into this crystal cave in the center of the earth with these amazing crystals and water and rocks to connect with these energies, these primal rock energies once again, and to heal from that place. Because as Cailleach Pishoga, the ghostly witch, the sorcerer, it's also an invitation for the ghosts who didn't have a voice back then to emerge, to be seen and witnessed and healed and released once again. The ghosts within me, the ghosts within the land, the ghosts within each other. So I hope this is making sense, but this is where she led me. And in that way, where I was getting the external experience and then the internal shamanic experience as well of being guided in to this whirlpool portal.
Beautiful. Wow. Yes. That's amazing. That's a real shamanic journey that she took you on. Awesome. And isn't it so amazing when that happens? Because it's not been conjured up by your mind. Instead, you're being taken on this unfolding of a much, much deeper journey that is in the archetypal mythical landscape of our lower world. In this case, it was the lower world. And you then trust it so much more afterwards because you know you didn't make this up. And instead, she took you on this deeply healing and awakening journey, awakening of an ancient wisdom and knowledge and insight and awareness that was already within you. I love that. What it also is a bit similar to is, you know, what would happen in a soul retrieval. When you're healing these ghosts within you, ghosts within the land, ghosts within the collective, you are, as you're healing that, it's like you see it as ghosts. Sometimes in solar tribals, we see it as frozen energy. You know, it's different expressions of the energy that's got trapped and the light has kind of left it. So as you heal that, the light is then returning. Yeah. The light is returning both to you, to the land, to the others, because you're healing it so that life force can return in its full state. How awesome. Yeah.
Wow. That's so amazing because there was part of me that was like, I'm not going there. I'm not going to the ghosts of the land. But then in my visualization, when I was lying in bed at 3 a.m. and this was coming through, I could see the faces of things in the history that's happened specifically in the land of Ireland,
yeah.
like the famine or the Magdalene laundries where unmarried mothers were sent, like it was a crime. And I could see the faces of the children and the eyes, and I could see it, and I couldn't look away this time. I couldn't. I had to look the ghosts in the eye and bring that healing, as you say, and the light and these golden light rays came through, and emerald.
Yeah, there you go. So that's how it showed itself to you as you were taken on this journey. Yeah, whenever that happens, it's like, so often I see a heavy energy that's kind of got a life form of its own that is not particularly benevolent. Yeah, I see it, and we all see it differently, but I can see it, for example, as snakes. And I did a journey recently where I was journeying down on the left, so into the feminine, and I saw all these snakes that were biting and kind of poisoning each other, and there was a lot of wounded stuff going on there. And I was guided to not clear them, but we were going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the lower world, deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And eventually we kind of fell through the boundary of that and into heaven, but in the lower world, yeah, into paradise. So not heaven as such, but paradise, where we were being met by all these ancient women kind of welcoming us. And as the snakes were being brought through that portal, they transformed into women. And I realized it was the insanity of the feminine that was then showing itself to me as the poisonous snakes, the backstabbing, the wounding underneath the surface, the paralyzing with the, you know, wagging tongues and all of that sort of stuff. And as they instead were brought through back to their original source, where they were being met with compassion, they transformed into their original state. And it was such an incredible learning for me to not go in there with my mind thinking, oh, they must be bad because I see them as snakes, because that's how I would normally see it. And instead, I just had to follow the journey where I was being guided, because the journey doesn't come from us. We're being led on the journey. We're being guided. It's like, I call it the spirit of their energy leads us to first the wounding, and then it guides us to the medicine, to the healing. And we just have to follow it. And that's what you did. So you follow it, and you are then a conduit through which this heals, through you witnessing it. You did this on you. You did this on yourself through you following the kayak's guidance. And that is the best teacher. It's the world of spirit that will teach you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so amazing, because even as I was guiding the group through that, my mind was coming in going, resistance, resistance, warning, warning. And the Kalyak kept going, say what you see. It was just like this, say.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Say, okay,
yeah.
I'll say, okay, this seems a bit weird, but yeah, say yeah. what you see.
Yeah.
So, and that's really helped me to have a deeper embodied sense of trust.
Yeah, allowing you to go deeper into that magic and the power and the wisdom and the healing that is there, because you have to leave the mind behind. The mind can't go there with you. It's just not capable of doing that. It will still witness. So it's kind of aware a little bit. But you now chose to follow her. And that is an initiation in its own right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hence why I think I see such a huge difference in you. It is a massive difference in you. Because when you see someone, not every day, it's easier to witness the change. Yeah. Amazing. Amazing, Aimer. That's amazing.
Well, wow. It is. And each time I go to bed now, I'm like, okay, come on, let's have some more of this, because that was a bit. I don't know if people are like that, you know, and it's like, let it integrate, you know,
yes,
let it integrate.
Exactly.
And for the people that you're guiding through, they're having their experiences as well. So that all needs to integrate.
Yeah. And what I think is so cool with that is that when you guide people through these shamanic journeys, is that everyone, it's like you're taking them through a little bit of an itinerary of different stops on the journey, yeah? But what they experience in all these different stops will be completely unique and different to them according to what it is that they're meant to unearth and heal and transform and witness and awaken. And I think that is also so cool that everyone will receive what they need to receive.
Yeah. Yes, which makes it even more powerful when that is shared in the coven, in the circle, and it's reflected back to each person.
Mm.
You go, wow, there's so much power in this, so much healing potential. Yeah.
And what you've experienced is the power of the feminine, the dark divine feminine.
Yes.
That's been so suppressed and so vilified for thousands of years. And she is, I mean, you know how passionate I am about the Dark Mother. So she is fierce, compassion and love and healing and our power and our magic. And how awesome that you are. Not only have healed it and continue to heal it within you, but that you're awakening that same love, same trust, same let's do this in others. Yeah.
Yeah. Who would have known from that storm 2 years ago that this is where she'd be bringing us.
Yeah.
And then it's that connection of, you know, I also have been delving deeper into who were the witches, like the Scottish history of the actual people who were killed for being witches, being called sorcerers and devil's children. And one of the first covens that were attacked, really, was the North Berwick Coven, which is in the east of Scotland. And they were accused of stirring up a storm to try to kill King James VI of Scotland, who was returning from Denmark with his soon-to-be wife, Anne of Denmark. And they were accused of stirring up this storm in the North Sea that almost killed him. And part of me goes, well, yeah, they probably did. They probably did stir up the storm, you know, and had this power. Whether it was to try to kill him or not, who knows? But it's this connection that the Kaliach is showing me between her powers and how she can help heal us on these journeys and what may have happened to these mainly women, such as Agnes Sampson is one of the people who was part of the North Berwick witch trials. It's bringing that healing and their wisdom and powers back in as well. Somehow that makes another tangible connection for me to then share as part of that story too.
Mm. So that is still something that you're working on? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It's just been a recent thing again of here comes the whirlpool portal and then this realization of the persecution was to shatter these covens, these circles of powerful women and men that were coming together to heal, to see into the dark, to connect with that gnosis. And I feel part of that is to heal that and bring these circles back, which I know so many people work in circle now again.
Yeah, absolutely. And to that, when we're coming back into circle, we're healing that sacred circle that was broken. We're finding our roots again, our alignment again. We're journeying into the darkness again. We're healing all of that. To also trust that we are then helping to birth something new into being, we're birthing a new light or consciousness, a new way of navigating in the world. That is the medicine that we are, I feel, we're here to bring. So for me, it was also about seeing it that they truly are loving in their power. It's just that that love is not light and fluffy. It's fierce. It's fierce. And it is needed. It's like, so, because I think a lot of us women, we have a problem with owning our power.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Feeling that, okay, I can own it if I can only be, you know, good with it. But part of that power is also to allow ourselves to, you know, I interviewed Maya Luna recently on holy rage. It's like allowing ourselves to really feel that rage of, what are you doing to the world, to our children, to the planet? It's crazy to recognize that that force is good. And I would imagine that that's what the witches that you're talking about were also feeling about this king returning, that, you know, that's not perhaps a good force coming here. And allowing that emotion to be expressed through them. Does that make sense?
It really does. It really does, because it's reminding me of another face of the Kalyach witch, which is the banshee, the wailing woman. And it's allowing that what wants to flow through you, whether it is the holy rage or the grief, and that can be expressed. There used to be wailing women that would come to funerals in Ireland, and they would start off, they'd start wailing and crying and singing so that the grief could move through the people who were mourning the loss of their loved ones. So it reminds me of that, because it's not pretty. It's snotty, it's teary, it's, you know, it's wild, it's ferocious. And that's so important that that can flow through us. Because personally, for me, I've been so good at suppressing that.
Yeah, exactly. And then as you suppress that, you also then disconnect or put under locks your power, or you become frozen. So it's like it's only a little bit of you navigating here, and the rest, your bigger piece, is just frozen in the lower world. So obviously gaining access to your pure emotions and expressing them in a safe way allows that flow of your life force, so that you can be really rooted with your truth, with your power, with your ancient witch that has that connection.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Fiercely loving.
Yeah, exactly. 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 My goodness, how she's been distorted.
Yes. Ooh. Yeah, I mean, I won't go into it, but part of the course I've been doing, I thought it would be a nice, simple, joyful course that would explore the eight faces of the Kalyach witch.
Sorry.
That's honestly, keep it simple, share the story, do a meditation journey. Easy. And as I looked through the stories, I even bought a gorgeous book called The Kalyach, and it's the oral lore that's been written down. The more I read through the stories, the angrier I got, because she's been so distorted and blamed for everything and so twisted. And she dies a violent death, or she's strung up and burned, or bad luck falls to the person that sees the Kalyach in the night. You know, all of this. And it's like I had to do that and see the reaction of the group I was guiding, who were going, we don't like these stories either. We don't like these. It's like the Kalyach had to hold the book up in front of my face to go, look, look. Look how they're speaking about me. Look how they've written about me.
Yeah.
I don't want this. Let's find new ways to
exactly
express me.
Yeah. I love that with also Shamali Arda.
Yes.
It's beautiful how she takes these stories written often through the patriarchal lens. And then she decodes them into, you know, the feminine, the experience. And it's beautiful. And that's exactly what you were doing. And in order to decode that, you then had to move through all the layers of wounding that have happened through that patriarchal lens. And there is a lot of anger in us from that. Rightly so. Holy anger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's the journey continues to unfold.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But we can feel, I feel that it's gaining momentum.
Yes.
And it's spreading, 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 spreading. So women are starting to really mobilize and go, it's like we're waking up. It's like, what have we put up with in the past? This is insane. And they're giving voice to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Amazing. Amazing, Amar. This is amazing. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I feel like the Kalyach witch wants to remind us all that now really is the time to reclaim our power and our sovereignty, and also to remember the roots from whence we came, to remember our roots, and that she's always here guiding us when you're ready.
It's been awesome, as always, Amar. Thank you.
Thank you so
much.
Thank
you for answering her call to you. I can feel the power and the magic and the healing and the medicine that is radiating, being expressed through you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Cece. I always love speaking with you.
For more information about Amar and her work, visit amarstassen.com. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Bye-bye.